In this heart-to-heart talk, Dodie Osteen shares scriptures that brought her out of sickness. It is her desire that those who suffer may be helped through faith in God. And now, here's Dodie.
Praise the Lord. The Lord laid it on my heart to talk to you for a little while and to give you some healing scriptures that have been such a help to me and that have sustained me through these last 2 years. It was back in December of 1981, on December 10th, in fact, that I was diagnosed as having metastatic cancer of the liver. Now, this was such a devastating thing to me because I'd been healthy all my life. And if it had not been for the Word of God and knowing that God's Word works and that He would never lie and that He keeps His promises, then I would not have been here to make this tape. So I felt that in my heart it would be good to not only have these scriptures that have helped me so much in writing as I have in the past and we've sent them out in the mail, but also to have a tape available, because I know there are people who maybe are in the hospitals that are actually too sick to read the Word of God, and a tape would help you. So I'm making this tape just especially for you. Now, Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Now, the reason that the Word of God is so important to a person who is fighting a battle is because in many cases it's the only hope that they have. That was so in my case. I was given a few weeks to live. Chemotherapy may have helped me some, but with or without it, I was given only a few weeks. So God just impressed me and my husband that I should leave the hospital on the day of the diagnosis and go home and seek His face, and that's what we did. I haven't been back to the hospital. I am not against chemotherapy. I am not against getting help. I think people ought to get well any way they can. I'm for God's people being well so they can go ahead and do things for Jesus. But in my case, there was nothing really that could be done. So we needed a miracle, and we got one. Glory be to Jesus. So ever since I came out of the hospital, these scriptures that have meant so much to me have not departed from my eyes. I have given attention to the Word of God every day of the world. When I read and study and pray in the morning, I look at these scriptures. I don't let them depart from my eyes. I keep them in the midst of my heart because they have been life to me and they have been health to me, and they will be to you also. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen." You see, there is hope in Jesus. Jesus hasn't changed. He's just the same as He was when He was walking on the earth. He had compassion then for people. He had pity for people who were sick, and He'll still do that today. But now, if you do not know about the Word of God, then you need to learn, because without knowledge of the Word of God, people perish. And I would have perished if I hadn't all these years listened to good teaching. That's the reason good teaching is so important to you. If you are in a church where you are not getting good teaching, then I would suggest that you go someplace that you can hear the Word of God taught, because it may be someday that will be the thing that will keep you alive, as in my case. But I would have perished and I would have died if it had not been for the Word of God, if I had not had knowledge on it, and if I had not been a fighter. Now, it's very important for you to fight. And as one doctor says, a person who is feisty can win the battle of disease, because if you are a fighter, then the good cells will overtake the bad cells. If you give in to depression and sickness, then the bad cells will be the ones who overtake. So I want to encourage you to be a fighter, to be feisty, to get the Word of God in your heart and to stand on it, and having done all, stand. Glory be to Jesus. God's Word is yes, and in Him, amen. It never changes and it never will change. Now, another thing you need to know is, first of all, if you're not saved, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, that is the first step. You need to get saved. You need to put Jesus first in your life. You need to repent of your sins and to just live for Him entirely. And then you see He's promised that He'll give you eternal life. And then you'll be able to spend eternity with Him. Glory to Jesus. Now, another thing you need to do is establish that it's God's will for you to be healed. In Matthew 8, when the leper came to Jesus, and you notice it said he worshiped Jesus, and he came to him, and he said, Jesus, Master, if it's your will, you can make me whole. And Jesus said two simple words, I will. It is His will for you to be well. If you do not believe that, then you need to change your thinking. It is not God that has made you sick. It's the devil. The thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. So if you have been bitter at God, if you have been angry at Him for this sickness that has come upon your body, then my dear friends, change. It is not God that's done it to you. It is the devil. So as long as you continue to be angry with God and bitter with Him, your prayers will be hindered. So on this day, if you've had a tendency to be angry with God or bitter, say, Father, I've been wrong. I release this bitterness to you, Jesus. Oh, I'm so sorry for it. I have been absolutely wrong because I have not known that it was the thief or the devil that has come to make me sick. So I'm sorry, and I release this bitterness to you today, Father. And Jesus will just bless you and help you so much. Now here are the scriptures that I want to give to you, and I think that they're going to help you. I want you to get them down in your spirit, down in your innermost being. Exodus 15:26 says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, then I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth you. Glory to Jesus. That's good news. Now, did you notice that it says, if you diligently heed, diligently heed, diligently heed. Are you diligently heeding the voice of the Lord your God? Are you doing what is right in His sight? Are you giving ear to His commandments and keeping all of His statutes? You see, some of these things, we have to do something for ourselves. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you are not diligently seeking Him, then you need to do some changing. And then as you change, give ear to His commandments, keep all of His statutes, then He says, I'll put none of these diseases upon you, because I am the Lord who healeth you. Glory be to Jesus. Exodus 23:25 says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless you, your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. See, that's another thing. If you shall serve the Lord your God, then He'll bless your bread and water. And you know what? When I pray at the table over our food, I never get through praying that prayer unless I say, and Father, I thank you that you promised to bless our bread and our water and take sickness from the midst of me. Glory be to Jesus. Now Deuteronomy 7:15 says, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness. All sickness. It doesn't say I will take away from you some of the sicknesses or part of the sicknesses, but I will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt. Now, Deuteronomy 28 is a beautiful chapter, and you ought to read it often. God says in Deuteronomy 28 that it shall come to pass if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now there's another thing that we have to do. Diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. What are the things that God wants us to obey? His Word. And in His Word are so many beautiful promises. And did you know one thing that will sometime make people not get what they want from God is because they're not doing it? And that is the fact of tithing. That's one of the things that God wants His children to do. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. But some people have something against tithing. So in order to diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, you're going to have to do all of His commandments. And one of them is tithing. But to observe carefully all of his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And then it goes on to say, blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, so forth, your basket and your kneading bowl. Read that sometime. That's wonderful. But you shall be blessed. And then over in the 61st verse, and he says, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law. You see, everything that's not written, and cancer isn't written in there. Some diseases are not written, but everything that's not written, God will take them all away from you if you diligently hearken to his voice and do that which is right in his sight. Now, Joshua 21:45 is beautiful. It says, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. It all came to pass. Not one word failed. Not one of any good thing that he had promised. It all came to pass. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are his benefits? All of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities and healeth all your diseases. And then it goes on with some more of the benefits. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Glory be to the Father. Thank you, Father, for your word that you sent it and healed them. Now, how can God's word get through to a person? Only if he understands it. Only if he has teaching on it. That's the reason it's so important to get teaching on the Word of God. Now, a scripture that I quote so often, and that I made up my mind that I was going to live and not die. Psalm 118:17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Now, if you will decide that you want to live and that you're going to live, then you make up your mind and you say, devil, you take your hands off of me. I will not let you destroy me. I will not let you kill me. I will not die an early death, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. And you be a fighter and you decide that you want to live, and then as you fight, you will see that you feel better and better and better. Glory to Jesus. Now, Psalm 91, the whole 91st Psalm is beautiful, but I don't have time to go through it. So the 16th verse is, with long life I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, on our way to the church, and we come here so often to the Oasis of Love. Sometimes we come every day, and on Sundays we come three times. We come on Wednesday nights. But there are two cemeteries on the freeway on our way to church. So when John and I pass those cemeteries, one of them's a little one, just has about 10 graves, we say, with long life he satisfies me and shows me his salvation. And if one of us forgets it, then the other one will punch the other one, or either just begin saying, with long life he satisfies me and shows me his salvation. Glory be to Jesus. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Glory be to Jesus. Did you know Jesus took not only your sins on the cross, but he took your sicknesses also. He took anything that causes you heartache, poverty, oppression, depression. Jesus took all that. And if Jesus took it, then there's no need in both of us bearing it. So just give it to him and say, Father, I give this care to you. It's too much for me, this sickness to you. I give it to you, Father. And I thank you that by his stripes I am healed. Now, Jeremiah 30:17 is a promise that's so beautiful. And God gave it to me. And it says, I will restore health unto you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Glory to Jesus. He will restore health unto you. Glory be to the Father. And heal you of your wounds. Now, when I was going through this time of sickness, I got some pictures of me. One in my wedding dress and another of me on a ranch one time on a horse. And it looked like I would never get on a horse again. But I knew how good I felt in those pictures. I knew how on my wedding day I felt so good, so radiant. And when I was riding that horse, how good I felt. And I kept looking at those pictures and saying, thank you, Father, that you will restore health unto me and heal me of my wounds. And that I'll feel like I did when I was 25. I'll feel like I did when I was 21, when I married. I'll feel so good, Jesus, that you'll restore my youth, Father. You'll restore health unto me. And then after a while, when I got to feeling good, I said, Father, I thank you that you have restored health unto me. And so that's what I say now. Matthew 8:17 says, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took it himself. If he took it, then we don't have to bear it. Glory be to the Father. Matthew 18:18 says, Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now you can read it this way. Whatever you stop on earth will be stopped in heaven, and whatever you permit and allow on earth will be permitted and allowed in heaven. So if you're having symptoms, you bind those symptoms or you stop those symptoms here on earth, and then God has to keep his word. They have to be stopped in heaven. Matthew 18:19, and this is so important. If two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, if you are married, you have a husband or a wife, then be in one accord. Have them stand with you. Don't let negative thoughts come between you. Have them be in agreement with you, in total agreement with you, for the healing of your body. And then when you ask, it'll be done for them of your Father in heaven. When you get through asking, after you've agreed, just look up to heaven and say, Father, we've done what you told us to do on earth. Now you take over, Jesus, and do it in heaven. Praise the Lord. And Matthew 21:21 says, If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do that which was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You notice that says, Whatever you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Do you have a mountain of sickness in your body? Do you have a mountain of financial need? Then you say to it, Be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll be done. See, it's so important what comes out of your mouth. Say, I believe that I am healed. Glory be to the Father. Mark 11:23, and this is such a beautiful scripture. For verily I say unto you, that whoever says to this mountain, Be removed. Now that's another one, like Matthew 21:21. Says to the mountain, see, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. See how important it is to say what is right? We're snared by the words of our mouth. So be careful what comes out of your mouth. Watch what you say. And the 24th verse says, Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Glory be to the Father. Now, on December 10th, I came out of the hospital. I felt terrible. I weighed 89 pounds. I'd had devastating news that I had metastatic cancer of the liver, that there was nothing that could be done to me. But I never did go to bed, because I knew if I did, it would be a lack of faith. So I didn't go to bed except at ordinary sleeping times. The next day, I got up, I dressed, I took a bath, I put on a dress that was about 3 sizes too large for me. I looked terrible, but I knew that if I gave in to the way I felt, I wouldn't live. So I really knew that I was going to have to fight. So John and I went into our bedroom, and we lay prostrate on the floor with our face just on the floor. And I said, John, as head of the house, I want you to command this cancer to leave my body. And he did. He spoke to that mountain of cancer and cast it into the sea. And I believed that whatever we asked right then, that it was done. We prayed the prayer of agreement, and we left it in the hands of the Lord. And as far as I'm concerned, on December 11th, 1981, my healing began. Now you say, did you feel like it began? No, I didn't feel like it began at all. I felt terrible. I had such a battle. I felt like I was going to die so many times. But I fought and I fought, and I kept reminding God of his promises. I reminded Jesus As it says in Isaiah 43, it is he that blots out our transgressions. Come, let us plead our case together that we may be justified. I said, Father, I plead my case to you, and I want you to tell me things that have been wrong in my life that I can correct. And I pled guilty to a lot of things, and I changed some things. And I said, Father, I want to live. I want, Jesus, you to let me live, because my husband needs me. My children need me. My flock needs me. I have a congregation here, Jesus. You've asked me to watch. You've given me to watch over. It's such a pleasure to watch over it, Father, because we're in your perfect will. And Jesus, my flock needs me. Jesus, they're fighting for me. They're praying for me. They need me, Jesus. And Jesus, you need me. I've not finished my course yet, Jesus. I'm young. I'm not old, Jesus. You promised with long life you'll satisfy me and show me your salvation. So, Jesus, I want to thank you that on December 11th, 1981, in our bedroom, I believe that I received my healing, and I have it. And I just rejoice, Jesus, that I'm healed, that all pain and all soreness will be out of my body. It's gone, in Jesus' name. Now you say, did it all leave? No, it didn't leave. I had a battle on my hands. It was as if I was in a dark tunnel. So many times I could see no light. I could see no light for months and months and months. But I never gave up confessing the Word of God, because I had an unshakable confidence in the Word of God. I knew Jesus would not lie to me. And I knew that if I kept on believing, I would receive. And I did, and glory be to Jesus. Here I am. When this tape is being made, it's in April, 2 years and 4 months later. Glory be to Jesus. That's more than a few weeks, isn't it? Glory to Jesus. This is a message of hope, my dear brothers and sisters. Hope. Jesus loves you, and Jesus wants you to be well. And this is a case where Jesus just healed a person and made her every whit whole. And so there is hope for you. I guess probably the disease I had in my body was about as hard a case. I mean, it seemed as hard a case as anybody could have had. I'm sure your case is hard also. But Jesus specializes in hard cases. And he's no respecter of persons. He didn't heal me because I'm John Osteen's wife. He healed me because he loved me, and I'm his child. I had people pray for me. Oral Roberts called me in the hospital. Daisy Osborne came to the hospital to see me. Brother Osborne called on the phone. Ken Copeland called. Brother Hagen and Aretha called 2 or 3 times. People were calling and praying for me. And my husband, who is one, in my opinion, of the best teachers in the world, he was there with me. I had everybody that I could to stand with me, and there were people all over the world praying for me that I didn't even know about. But when it came right down to the bare facts, it was between Dodie Osteen and Jesus. You see, I'm not a baby anymore. I'm a big girl now. There was a time when we carried our little girl when she was a newborn baby, and she was born with cerebral palsy. John and I carried her and asked Jesus to heal her, and he did because of our faith. But she was a newborn baby. She couldn't think for herself. But all these years, I've had the Word of God in me. And I couldn't go according to John Osteen's faith or Oral Roberts' faith. I had to go on my own faith. And it was a long, hard battle. Now, if you're a baby Christian, God will honor that. And don't you condemn yourself if you don't know about the Word of God. You just get in the Bible and seek the Lord Jesus, and he'll show himself strong in your behalf. Now, Mark 16:18 says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Glory be to Jesus. You have somebody lay hands on you, and then you believe that you will recover from that time forth. Now, John 10:10 is the one. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come, Jesus has come, that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Glory be to the Father. Now, I want you to notice John 9:31. It's just across the page from that. It says, if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Glory be to Jesus. See how important it is to worship God? Maybe you've not been used to worshiping God in your church. Just raise your hands and say, oh, Jesus, I love you, and I worship you, and I come before you today thanking you, Father, that your word hasn't changed. You'll see how good it'll make you feel. Now, when I read this, this is a scripture that I quote aloud every day, John 10:10. The others, I just read. I don't let them to depart from my eyes. But John 10:10 is the one that I read aloud every day, and I read it like this. I combine the two verses. Devil, you are not going to steal my health. You have not stolen my health. You will never steal my health. You will not kill me, and you will not ever destroy me, because I am a worshiper of God, and I do his will, and he hears me, and Jesus has come that I may have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. That makes you feel good inside. And then Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That same spirit dwelt in Jesus and caused him to be raised from the dead, dwells in me and dwells in you, and he is quickening or making alive our mortal bodies. Glory be to the Father. Now Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Now what was the curse of the law? The curse of the law was sin. The curse of the law was sickness. The curse of the law was poverty. But Jesus came into the world. He gave himself so willingly to die in our place on the cross. And he therefore has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He took that curse for us upon the cross, that we might have the blessings of Abraham. Praise the Lord. Now Philippians 2:13 is one of the ones that I quote the most, I guess. For it is God who works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Father, you're working in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And I find myself going through the house, walking out in the yard. Oh, Father, I thank you that you are working in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Now Hebrews 10:23 has been a verse that has been so important to me. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Praise the Lord. Hold fast to the confession of your faith without wavering. Now there were many times, and this is the one that people seem to be helped the most when I explain it to them. I wavered many times. The symptoms got so severe, I wavered, and I became alarmed, and then condemnation would come on me. And I said, what is wrong with me? I'm wavering. It seems like there is still disease in my body. And I was so tormented, and finally one day I went to John and I said, darling, I need help on this. I want you to help me. It seems like I'm wavering. I'm trying to hold fast to my confession of faith, but it seems like I'm wavering. And he said, Dodie, have you ever thought in your spirit man that God's word changed? And I said, no, I would never think that. I have an unshakable confidence in his word. Then he said, where is it you're wavering? And I said, it's in my head. And he said, of course, can't you see? The devil is making you waver in your head. But you have that unshakable confidence in your inner man, in your heart. You know God wouldn't lie to you. You know his word is true. I said, oh, thank you, Father. Those accusations that have come against me in my mind are from the evil one. He's the one that's the accuser of the brethren. So see, when he tells you anything, you take just the opposite from it, and you'll have the truth. So then I wasn't under condemnation anymore. I said, oh, thank you, Father, that I am holding fast to my confession without wavering. I don't waver in my spirit, man, because I know your word works. Now that'll help you. If you felt that you're wavering, just remember, in your inner man, see, you can have doubt in your head, but faith in your heart. Glory be to Jesus. Now Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. We have unshakable confidence in him. Praise the Lord. Now Hebrews 11:11 says, Sarah judged him faithful who promised. I judge Jesus faithful in everything that he's promised, don't you? Glory be to the Father. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we knew so little about healing when our daughter was born 25 years ago because we were in a denominational church pastoring where we hadn't been taught healing. And John began to go through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, all those beautiful healings and chapters where it tells about all the good things Jesus did and said. And then we got over into Hebrews where it said Jesus didn't change. And we said in just the simplest way we knew how, Jesus, your word says you haven't changed. Here we are faced with a little child that has cerebral palsy. Father, if Jesus didn't change then and he's the same now, then he can touch our little girl and make her whole. And just in the simplest way that we knew how, we asked Jesus to heal our little girl. There's another case of no hope from the doctor. Cerebral palsy child, brain damaged child, and so in the simplest way we knew how, we said, Father, you haven't changed. Jesus, you haven't changed. Would you just touch her and heal her? And you know Jesus did just that. She is 25 years old now. She's a beautiful young lady. She works here at the church, and oh, she's been such a blessing to us. She's strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So Jesus hasn't changed. And his desire is for you to be well. His word says he wishes above all, his wish above every wish is that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. Do you know how your soul will prosper? By getting the word of God in it. And then when you get the word of God in your soul, then you will know how to stay in good health. He wants us to walk in divine health. So while you're walking in divine health, get that word in your heart. And then if sickness tries to come upon you, you'll be prepared for it. Praise the Lord. Now James 5:14-15 says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, if you feel good about calling for the elders of the church and having them anoint you with oil and pray for you in the name of the Lord, then the prayer of faith will save the sick. But now, if you don't have elders who know how to pray the prayer of faith, then I'd find some who do know and have them to come and anoint you with oil. And then just believe that God will keep his word and that you are healed and that the Lord will raise you up. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah says, by whose stripes you are healed. 1 Peter, looking back, says, by whose stripes you were healed. He took it on the cross. We were healed. Glory to Jesus. 1 John 5:14-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now you see, you have the confidence in him that if you ask anything according to his will. Now how can you ask if you don't know what his will is? That's the reason you need to find you some healing scriptures, or if it's salvation scriptures, any kind of scripture that you need, find it in the word of God and then ask according to his will, and then you have the confidence that he will hear and he will answer. Now here's one that goes along so good with that one. 1 John 3:22 says, whatever we ask we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now if you're not getting what you want from God, or what you think that you ought to have, then examine yourself and see if you are keeping his commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, by the word of their testimony. Now God, when he does heal you, and when you recover and are able to go and testify, do it, because Jesus wants you to give glory to him for what he's done for you. And if you haven't lived for God in the past, and God has mercy on you, and because of his love for you, he touches your body and heals you, then don't go back living for the world, but sell completely out to Jesus 100% and serve him all of your days, because God doesn't heal you to go back into the world. He heals you. You've been set apart. You're his chosen vessel to live for him and to serve him all of your days. Now, you might say, Did fear come on you? Yes, fear tried to come on me. Now, for years, I had been so proud. When my children were little, because I'm a registered nurse, I had a thermometer. Every time they felt warm, I stuck that thermometer in their mouth. And I had such a fear if they had a sore throat. Because I was a nurse and trained in medicine, I thought they had meningitis or encephalitis. And I was so disturbed and concerned and worried and fearful about a little bit of fever that would come on my children. I finally got tired of it one day, and I said, I'm tired of this devil. I'm tired of being tormented by fever. And I took my thermometer and I broke it in two. And I never had a fear after that about them when they were sick. And I always prided myself in not being fearful of anything. I used to wouldn't stay alone when John was gone. But then I began to stay alone. I wasn't fearful, and I was so thankful. When this thing tried to attach itself to my body and I got weak physically, then I had to fight fear. Now, you say that seems strange coming from a pastor's wife and from a Holy Ghost-filled lady. Well, it may be strange to you, but I'm just telling you like it is. I'm not proud of it, but I'm just telling you this so that it may help you. I mean, I'm just, first of all, before I'm a pastor's wife and before I'm John Osteen's wife, I'm also a human being. And I have the same things that come against me as come against anybody else. So I had to fight fear. Now, that didn't mean the spirit of fear had overtaken me. It just meant that I had to fight fear. And especially at night when I would be lying on my bed and the family was asleep. And the devil would come against me with a pain or something. He would say, you're going to die, you're going to die. I would immediately replace it with long life. He satisfies me and shows me his salvation. But I had to fight fear mainly at night lying on my bed. So I just fought it and fought it. And then finally one day I said, now, Father, you haven't given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That 2 Timothy 1:7. This fear is not of you, God. It's of the devil. And so I am releasing it to you, Father, on this day. And I set a date, September the 6th, way back there. I said, on this day, I shall have no more fear. It is gone in Jesus' name. See, so if fear has come against you, then you just rebuke it and say, on this day that I hear this tape, I'm getting rid of fear. I'm releasing it. Jesus took that fear on the cross. We don't need to both bear it, so I'm releasing it to you, Father. I cast my cares upon you, Father, for you care for me. Glory be to the Father. Now, you so many times will have to cast down imaginations concerning scriptures. Symptoms. Symptoms came against my body so severely, you wouldn't believe. I had so many things come against my body. I had abnormal bleeding. It just seemed like every day there was a new thing that I had to fight. Pains here, pains there. So many times I got so tired in my body. And so many times I thought, my goodness, it would be much easier just to go and be with Jesus. But I wanted to live, so I fought. And I fought symptoms, but just things came against me, and I had to cast down a lot of imaginations. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high and lofty thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into thought bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I had to cast down so many imaginations, and you will too, but you be strong and do that and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You say thoughts, you line up with the word of God that says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Thoughts, you line up with God's word that says, whatever I ask, I receive of him because I keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Himself took my infirmities. You line up with that. You line up with that thought in Jesus' name. And praise the Lord, it'll come to pass. It will come to pass. Now, Ephesians 6:10 is so good because it tells you that you have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you have to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. You've got to have that armor on every day that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. And one version of the Bible says, and when it's all over, you'll still be standing up. Glory be to the Father. Stand therefore, having your waist, your loins girt about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, have on the shield of faith that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and having on the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You need to have this on every day. And you need to resist the devil and tell the devil every day, Devil, I'm your master. You take your hands off me and off my family and off my body. And I speak to you, body, and I say to you, line up with the Word of God. Glory be to the Father. And it'll work. It'll work. Now, a scripture that has been so meaningful to me in the last 2 years and 4 months. Because you see, the devil is a tormentor, and he will come against you. If you have a pain in your side, he'll say, there it is again. See, you have to fight those things, those imaginations. You have to cast them down and to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. But Nahum 1:9 is so beautiful, and it will be good for you. It says, this affliction will not rise up the second time. Glory be to the Father. You know, in a case of cancer, they usually say if you live 5 years, you're well, you know, and all that. But the devil will try to torment you and say, it's going to come back on you. But you remind him of Nahum 1:9, this affliction will not rise up the second time. It'll never come on my body again. Glory be to the Father. Now, I want to just encourage you today, as you have listened to this tape, that you'll be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and you'll set your face to really seek God and to get His promises in your heart. And if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, make that right today. This time, on this day, or this night that you hear this tape, then I want you to set that date and believe from that date forward you will begin to amend, and your body will begin to recover. If you're weak, say, Father, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Say over and over and over, I'm strong. There's a scripture that said, let us take hold of His strength in Isaiah. Reach up and take hold. I've done that so many times. Just reached up and said, Father, here's my hand. Take hold of it, Jesus. I need you. And you know, so many times, three little words I said, and they're so beautiful, and they'll help you. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And He never failed to help me, and He'll never fail to help you. So now, as we're going to close this tape, I felt impressed of the Lord to pray a prayer for you, and to pray a prayer of agreement with you as you hear this tape. If you can put your hand on the tape recorder, would you do that, please? Just as an act of faith. And would you believe, as I pray with you, of the prayer of agreement, that God will take sickness from your body? Will you do that? Now here is the way we're going to close this tape, by me praying for you. Oh Father, I come to you at this time in the name that is above every name, that name of Jesus Christ. Father, that name that will never change, and the person himself will never change. So Father, I come to you in behalf of all those who are going to be listening to this tape, Father. And I ask you, my Father, oh God, because you are a God that loves us, and a God full of mercy, see, and a God full of compassion, Father, that you would touch these people and heal them, Father. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, touch their bodies and heal them, Father. Jesus, I remind you of your word in Matthew 18:19, says that if two of us agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it'll be done of them of my Father in heaven. So Father, we are here on earth, and I'm agreeing with the persons who are listening to this tape, Father. I'm agreeing, Father, that you will touch their bodies and heal them, and that disease will be driven from their bodies, Father. And Jesus, as we ask, we know that it will be done of our Father in heaven, because Father, you are a good God, and you keep your promises. So Father, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to touch these people and heal them. Father, if it's cancer, if it's kidney disease, if it's mononucleosis, if it's tuberculosis, if it's multiple sclerosis, Father, oh God, if it's muscular dystrophy, if it's any disease, Father, that would kill them or make them unhealthy and make them to be sad, Father, I want to ask you, God, to touch them and heal them, Father. You know the name of the disease, Father. You know everything about them. And so I speak to that disease in their body, whatever it is, and I say to you, disease, go in Jesus' name. We will not let you stay in their bodies. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, wither and die, disease. If you're a cancer, I command you, foul cancer, wither and die. If you're a tumor, I command you, foul tumor, wither and die. If you're kidney failure, I command you, kidney failure, leave their bodies. Kidneys begin to function normally. Bodies begin to function normally. If it's paralysis, paralysis, go in the name of Jesus. Bodies be normal. Organs line up with the word of God that says, by the stripes of Jesus, they are healed. Thank you, Father, that the devil will not kill them. He will not destroy them. He will not take their lives nor rob them of their health. Because on this day, Father, we have agreed that your healing will come into their bodies. Oh, Father, I thank you for doing that for them, Father. I thank you for doing it for them, Father, because you love them, great mercy for them. Thank you, my Father, that they shall not die, but they shall live and declare the works of the Lord, Father, and they will go and tell others about your mercy and your love and how you heal their bodies, Father. Thank you that we'll hear good reports from this, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are a God of hope and a God of mercy. And Jesus, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for healing these people.